Please be seated. A warm welcome to one and all, to the Immobile Choir and their families and friends that are with us, all the good folks of St. James Westminster that are here together today. Some quick announcements for the folks from St. James Westminster. This is the final day of our Indwell fundraising. We're hoping to hit $7,500, so if you haven't yet made your donation, please get it in as soon as you can. Some interesting things happening the next 3 weeks. Next Sunday, we will be marking All Saints Sunday. Former Rector Ken Anderson will be here as the guest preacher. Ken's been working on this sermon diligently for quite some time. He came up with an idea for All Saints and wanted to share it with you. On the 13th, as always, our Remembrance Sunday, we'll have a full act of remembrance. And what should I say about November the 20th? Well, probably the title says all that you need to know. What church would be like if Keith got to do what Keith wanted to do? And it will be that silly. And it will have deep meaning, too, I hope. So I hope folks will be here. Today is a special day for St. James Westminster. This is the 149th celebration of Founders Day. So that means it's the lull before the storm. Next year, we'll celebrate 150 years, and that'll be all excitement. 149 years, meh. But I thought it would be good for a review for some of the folks from St. James and for our visitors to know a little bit about the history of this place and why we celebrate Founders Day at this time of year. So Founders Day is our patronal festival. It's held each year on a Sunday close to October 23rd, which is the celebration of James of Jerusalem. Given that worship began in the first St. James building on September 7th of 1873, one would presume the first Founders Day would have been marked right on the actual October 23rd date, which was a Sunday that year. We can only wonder how different things would have been, though. The first building at St. James was 24 feet by 42 feet. Can you imagine us all squashed into 22 by 42? The first permanent rector, Evans Davis, would not arrive for nearly 6 months. Clergy from St. Paul's downtown would take the services. We can be reasonably certain that horses were involved in transporting many to church that day, and the only sound system was the voice box of the preacher. The Book of Common Prayer would provide the liturgy for the day. In 149 years, St. James Westminster has been served by just 9 rectors, along with a lengthy list of assistants, associates, honoraries, and some deacons as well. Evans Davis will no doubt hold the distinction forever of being the longest-serving rector of the parish. Between 1874 and 1919, he was not only rector here, but also named a canon, served as archdeacon, and even dean of Huron. The west transept window is dedicated in his honor. The first wardens of St. James, John Beatty and John Pope, served from 1873 to 1876, and along with R.B. Hungerford and G.D. Sutherland, they each served multiple terms in the early history of the church. Whether by candlelight with a pump organ leading the music or the thundering crescendo of today's pipe organ and amplified by sound, if you came in a horse and buggy, a Studebaker, or any of today's SUVs, it's all part of the long, glorious, and continuing history of St. James Westminster. We'll write another chapter, the 150th chapter, in just 365 days. A moment of silence, and then we will join together in worship. As you are able, please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires, and from you new seek. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, whose chosen servant Abraham obeyed your call, rejoicing in your promise that in him the family of the earth is blessed, give us faith like his, that in us your promises may be fulfilled. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of Scripture.
A reading from the book of 2 Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith during all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of his call and will fulfill by his power every good resolve and work of faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Lord be with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So let me try my 8:30 intro, which kind of bombed a little bit because I discovered a bunch of people didn't know this, but hopefully some of you will know, and if you know, sing along. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Apparently you know it. That's good. The problem is, that's all we know about this story. And therein, we miss the point. Because this is not a story about a happy climbing of a tree. It's not something that should be lost in a song that leaves out the most important parts of this gospel pericope. But it's what we've done for a long time. We tend to look past the meaning and take the easy way out with a nice song. And I remember, I'm old now, so it's been a long time that I've known Zacchaeus was a wee little man. But what's the story about? Who is Zacchaeus? Why is he in the Bible? Why do we tell the story? The sycamore tree doesn't matter. The fact that he's short doesn't matter. He was a Jewish person who collaborated with the Romans. He became a tax collector, which meant that he probably was ripping people off, left, right, and center. And he heard about this Jesus person, and he was moved. And then he wanted to go see him and find out what he was all about. And yes, because he happened to be a little bit short, he had to go up a tree. By the way, I'm told that protocol for an official of the time would not allow for climbing of trees and other things in public. That would have been disrespectful. This story is the end of a segment that those who are here regularly know that Hannah and I have been complaining bitterly about, the segment of Luke's gospel that is exclusive to Luke's gospel, because they're very, very, very difficult stories. So we have worked our way through several of them. Now that may be a revelation to some people that there are parts of one of the Gospels that isn't in the rest of them. Until I went to seminary some 30 years ago, I didn't realize, I always thought, you know, the Gospel was the Gospel and everybody had all the same stories. The stories are dramatically different. There is a significant portion that only Luke wrote. It's motivated because Luke was writing to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish people. The people who wouldn't have understood or known the Jewish way of doing things. The people that had always felt excluded if they lived in a Jewish community because they didn't match up. That's who Luke wrote to. So Luke is writing about inclusion. So for the last several weeks, here's the stories that we've read. And even if you don't know the Bible, I think you'll come to understand just by the titles of these stories what they're about. the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son, the dishonest manager, the rich man and Lazarus, cleansing of 10 lepers, the widow and the unjust judge, the Pharisee and the tax collector, and Zacchaeus. Here ends my extensive notes. Those are all stories about including those who had not previously been included. Zacchaeus would have been an outcast because he chose his own needs above that of his community. Yet Jesus not only went to dinner with him, Jesus watched him be transformed, turning away from that which was wrong in his life. But all these stories tell us that Jesus went to look for the people who weren't there already. He came looking for those who were lost, those who didn't have meaning, those who didn't understand the world in which they lived. There are a lot of those people today. If you read some of the census data that came out this week, in the most recent census, the number of people who claim to be Christians has gone down radically. The two denominations singled out for the biggest decline were Anglicans and Presbyterians in our area. That should tell us something. Should motivate us to something. There are people who have been inside who have decided to leave, and there are all kinds of people outside that we haven't yet met. Jesus could have ignored all of the people in all of the stories that we've read over the last few weeks. Yet he didn't. Reaching out to those who are lost is the mission of the Christian Church, is the mission of St. James Westminster Anglican Church. The numbers tell us we have some work to do. The mission is not just for leaders. The mission is for everyone. We have made some strides in being inclusive in our world. We continue to make some strides. We have a ways to go. So as usual, I try to end with a question rather than an answer, because I think that's what a homily is about, is to ask questions and then journey with those questions, which will give you 5 more questions to work on later in the week. What part do you play in the mission of the church to reach out to the lost? Amen. Thank you. As you are able, I would invite you to stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to take whatever position is comfortable for you in prayer, standing, sitting, or kneeling.
Our help comes from the Lord. Let us pray to him now. Loving Father, we pray for those who teach prayer and Bible study at schools and colleges, retreat houses and conferences, and in churches and homes all over the world. We pray that many will find your words speaking into their situation and providing the guidance they need. Lord, we love your ways.
Our help comes to you.
We pray for those picking their way through situations of potential conflict and danger, for lawmakers and keepers and all who are oppressed unjustly, for the leaders of the nations and their people. Lord, we love your ways.
Our help comes to you.
We pray for the grace to listen to one another and respond to one another's needs. We pray for a spirit of cooperation and generosity in our homes and neighbors. Lord, we love your ways.
Our help comes from you.
In our parish family, we pray for these people in need. Carol Jones, John Fryer, Al McMillian, Rich, Rick and Rita, Eunice Smith, Emerson Muir, Anna Woodson, Marilyn Austin, David Buckridge, Sylvia Brightwell, Bev Wethy, Peter Giampa, Dan Lemansky, Monica, Deb, Betty Pepler, and Jennifer Sterling. We pray for those who are wrestling with problems which seem too big to cope with, for those who have recently received news that stunned or appalled them and are still in a state of shock. Lord, we love your ways.
Our help comes to you.
We pray for those who have gone through death, that may be judged with mercy and brought safely into the eternal life of heaven. Lord, we love your ways.
Our help comes to you.
Loving Father, we thank you for your constant faithfulness to us, in spite of our tendency to fall far short of our responsibilities. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites us to this table. So let us now confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us pray. God of freedom, accept all we offer you this day. May we embrace the law of your service and know the glorious liberty of the children of God. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe. You are worthy of glory and praise. Glory to you forever and ever. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets and their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being. Glory to you forever and ever. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the stewards of creation.
Glory to you forever and ever.
But we turn against you and betray your trust, and we turn against one another. Again and again, you call us to return. Through the prophets and sages, you reveal your righteous law. In the fullness of time, you sent your son, born of a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who in the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your Holy Church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. Lord, we died with you on the cross. Now we are raised to new life. We were buried in your tomb. Now we share in your resurrection. Live in us that we may live in you. O Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. O Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. O Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Grant us thy peace. Part of my personality is that I don't like being the one person in the room that doesn't know what's going on. The problem is, logistically, there's no way that I can manage to work that out for everybody this morning. So let's just do as best we can and hope everybody gets to communion that wishes to be in communion. Those who wish to have a blessing get that done. And if we mess it up, I'm sorry. That's all I can do. So, COVID is still with us and changing things. So there are two elements to communion, the bread and the wine. You may receive one or both. The bread will be administered at a standing station here, the wine at a standing station here. For those who are up here, I'll come around. If any of you would like to receive communion, you can. If you are uncomfortable receiving communion, but you want to take part, if you come up and cross your arms across like this, we'll be happy to give you a blessing. If it just seems like all too much confusion, just stay right where you are. That is absolutely fine. And if gluten-free is what you need, we have gluten-free wafers, so please just ask. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bring to perfection within us the communion we share in this sacrament. May the unity we know this day live in our community and family. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us this day and remain with us forevermore. Amen.